Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Arizona State Parks and Trails Podcast. One thing we love to highlight here at the parks is that there's something for everyone to enjoy, no matter your age, skill level, or interests. And your adventures, they can evolve over time. So it's great to try new things. That's why we're excited to introduce you to today's podcast guest, Henley Phillips. He's an ultra runner and mountain biker based out of Tucson. He's thru-hiked the Pacific Crest Trail and holds a couple of the fastest known times. And in 2019, he pedaled across Australia with his wife, who ran over 2,000 miles across the outback. Even though Henley's traveled all over the world, taking on these extraordinary outdoor adventures, he loves exploring right from his own backyard here in Arizona. If you've been wanting to take your outdoor adventures to the next level, our conversation with Henley is sure to inspire. So let's get to it and welcome Henley to the show.
So Henley, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me. Happy to chat with you.
Man, we're stoked to hear about all these awesome adventures that you take and throughout Southern Arizona. We're probably going to touch on Australia a little bit. And I just think it's really cool how you test what the human mind and body can take, and you go on these adventures, and the things that you see and feel along the way are breathtaking. And I want our listeners to be able to kind of come along with you on those things and, you know, maybe learn about your processes and how you got into it along the way.
Yeah, definitely. I've been fortunate the last few years to have made time and space to make those things happen, and it's often been at the sacrifice of other things, but I've been really, really happy with those decisions. And I like going abroad, but living in Arizona the last few years, there's a lot of really sweet stuff here, so I really enjoyed getting to know this part of Southern Arizona as well.
I think that's so cool that you have been all over the world and yet you still continue to explore Arizona. Because sometimes when we live in a place, we forget the magic that surrounds us right in our own backyards. But you're really good about being intentional and exploring your own home. So that's awesome. The sort of extreme adventure, tell our listeners what you like to do. There's a term, you could call it bikepacking, you could call it biking and backpacking. So what is it that you like to do?
Oh man. Yeah. I don't know that I have necessarily a term for like the ideas that come together, but yeah, usually it's like pieces of bikepacking or pieces of, I guess maybe ultra running would be another term to throw in there, but I like to hike and I like to cycle. So over the years, I've done both of those things individually. And the last few years, I've tried to come up with ways to put them together. It's looked like anything from like a few hours. Well, actually a lot of hours, in like the 60 to 70 hour range of doing a lot of miles in one go to like multiple days or weeks. I'm just trying to come up with like, as you do more, my interest in what else I could do that's kind of outside of those limits, both in terms of like a physical thing, but also just like conceptually the different kinds of things that you might think to do. I like to explore those a little bit. And I think part of the reason I'm so excited about like Arizona and probably like the West in general is that I grew up in Texas, where I think the percentage of public land there is like 2%. So yeah. There's state parks, right, that are really, really nice to go to, but it's not like having national forest and BLM land that you can go and recreate on. So I've lived in the West ever since kind of like after college. And so wherever I've lived in the West, there's just, you know, thousands of acres of land that you can go and recreate and create on. So I'm taking full advantage of it after a couple decades of not having that in Texas.
Yeah. And the Catalinas are right in your backyard.
Yeah.
Essentially,
I can see Mount Lemmon from my backyard.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I love Mount Lemmon and like all those Sky Island ecosystems down there. It absolutely, each one is similar but different in its own way, and they offer people that visit hidden surprises. Can you kind of talk about your experiences in the Sky Island ranges?
Yeah. So I moved here in here being Tucson. I moved here in 2020. And it was actually, I think, like the week or two that everything was starting to shut down from the pandemic. And that was also the year that down here, we did not get really much of a monsoon. And everyone was telling us, like, wait for the monsoon. It's refreshing. You'll like enjoy this place a little bit more. But the combination of like no monsoon and the pandemic, like, I honestly wasn't very excited about being here. It was overly hot. The pandemic was happening. And, you know, I can look around and see all these sky, you know, there's five ranges that surround the city of Tucson. But I wasn't excited to get out there very much. But at one point I realized like, I need to come up with something that has me feeling connected to this place. And I had come across a route, if we want to get into kind of like the adventure side of things, I had come across a route on the Fastest Known Time website that hosts, the fastest times for different routes, usually on foot, around the world. And there was one for Tucson called the Tucson Highest Five, and it was to go up and down, each of the highest peaks in the range around the city. But strangely enough, like they allowed you to connect the trailheads by car. And I thought that's double, you know, the amount of distance that you're covering by car is more than what you're doing on foot. Like that, they seem like five separate things if you're going to do them by car. And then, so that's where kind of like, to your point, I decided like, I'm going to take the biking part of my life that I enjoy, and I'll just bike to every trailhead, run or fast hike up each peak, and then bike to the next trailhead and, you know, do that for the five peaks.
You're a purist. You couldn't cheat with a car.
There's just something, you know, and there's like all the in between of the Sky Islands is kind of like, that's a huge part of what makes this part of Southern Arizona so unique, is that you can go up to Mount Lemmon at almost, you know, close to 10,000 feet, come back down, be back in the desert, and then you go over to the next peak. And if you're just zipping by in a car, like, you know, you miss all the in between. And after that, so that took me, I did that in 66 hours and a little bit. And so that was kind of like the thing, you know, now when I look around Tucson, like I can see all the peaks and I have all these experiences like that literally draw a circle around where I live now. And so it just created more of a sense of like belonging to this place, and something that it's hard to feel connected when you don't have an experience or memories that mean much to you. And prior to that, it was just the pandemic. A lot of Zoom stuff, cause I was in school. So a lot of my time just spent on the computer. Sometimes you have to create your own fun and create your own experiences that like tie you down to a place and make a place feel special.
You are 1,000% right. That is very relatable, Henley. My husband was doing some training that took us out of state for a bit, and I was desperately missing Arizona and not really enjoying the place that I was. We were living in Oklahoma temporarily. And the thing that helped me kind of cope, you know, they say bloom where you're planted. The thing that helped me cope was actually going out and hiking where I could. So it's amazing that just trying to connect to the nature around you can help you deal with whatever kind of circumstance is going on. It's just like really good for our mental health. Not to be cheesy, but that was very relatable to me.
Sure, yeah.
No, I agree. And I think we could even build on that a little bit, because I've heard, you know, over time, you know, promoting outdoor stuff in Arizona, that people at times take what we have here for granted. But I think that maybe they just haven't explored further enough out, or they need different ideas in order how to get that connection with the land. Because, I mean, honestly, there's enough outdoor stuff you can do in Arizona every day of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like finding new stuff.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those like natural human things where, you know, once you are, to use that term, like bloom, once you are blooming where you're planted, like it feels comfortable to kind of like circulate within what you know and kind of create a routine that's both good and can kind of keep you within something that is, you know, doesn't let you think outside of that too much. And so I think that's why it's fun to come up with creative things, because like you said, you know, like me as not an Arizonan can give an idea of like what else is out there, even though people who live here know about the Catalinas, but they probably know about like an inch of it, you know, compared to what is out there. And sometimes you don't know like what's possible until someone, you know, says like, oh, well, you could try this. And then you go from there. And yeah, the community of like creativity around the outdoors is interesting and exciting.
And that's why talking to you today is such an awesome thing, because all these people are going to hear about these cool adventures and they might be inspired to, you know, get a crazy bike like you have and get out there and do it. can you talk to us a little bit about your gear and what makes it possible for you to be able to do these extended trips?
Yeah. I guess, let's see, in terms of gear, I mean, it's nothing too special. Like, I tend to like things that are lighter weight just because it's, you know, easier on the body and the bike overall. But I try not to obsess about that too much. As we all know, too, like, it's cheap to shed pounds and it's expensive to shed ounces, you know, like you can go to a point to where it's light. And then if you want to like shave 6 ounces, like, well, there's $500 to do that. So right. I reached a point now that where like, I feel pretty comfortable with my setup. I think that, I don't know, a lot of it is just like the creativity to get out there, like always coming up with ideas is what's kind of more important than the gear per se. And I will say, like, so my spouse is a heck of an adventure person herself. And so like having like, you know, if I think of things that help and enable me to get outside, often we think about gear, but like I have a partner who, you know, can outmatch my ideas and outmatch me physically and other things too. So, or outdo me. So that's a huge thing to have kind of like in my toolkit of stuff.
Oh my gosh. I love that. That's my favorite piece of gear ever. Have a buddy that encourages you to be creative and do things outside your comfort zone and try new things. And that's great advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, there might be times where, you know, she might want to do a certain adventure that you hadn't thought about. And then you're like, hey, let's go do that, you know? And I've got 4 kids that are similar, you know, I've introduced them to all this outdoor stuff at an early age. And they're always like, hey, you know, let's go look for deer over here. Let's go catch some trout. And it's exhausting, but it's amazing.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's something that I like about your style of adventuring, Henley, is that you're very conceptual in the way that you approach the outdoors. And I think it brings a lot of enrichment, and it allows you to express your creativity, because you're explaining you won't always just go for a route that exists. Sometimes you'll find points of interest and you'll try to figure out ways to connect them. So you did that not only in the Sky Islands, you took something and decided, well, I want to connect all those things with a different form of adventure. But you've done that all across the world. You had a very, very big adventure in Australia, and that was something you did with your spouse. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that adventure?
Yeah. So my wife, and this was 2019, she ran across Australia from Darwin to Adelaide. So from the top down to the bottom. And 10 years before that, in 2009, before we had even met, she ran across the United States. So like she's a runner. She's something she likes. And she had wanted to go across Australia for a long time. And, we had started the planning in 2015, and just things came up and we got around to it finally in 2019. But we took a route that was, if you're familiar with Australia, you'll know the name of the Stuart Highway, which is essentially the only major road that connects Darwin to Adelaide. And outside of that, if you want to go from north to south, you take back roads. And we wanted that kind of experience. We didn't want anything on a highway for safety reasons and just for the experience of it. And so we went through kind of an S shape through the country from Darwin to Adelaide. It took us 4 months. It was very, very remote. We had stretches of 17 days without food resupply. So Neil, you had mentioned earlier, you'd seen a video of the trailer that I was the support person on a bike with a trailer. I at times was carrying the full water capacity, which was 100 liters, and 17 days worth of food. So there was a lot of logistics and a lot of gear stuff to figure out that was very fun. It's so far, it's been like the most exceptional outdoor experience I've had. And to share it with my wife, you know, is a big part of that. We were, you know, when she ran across the US, she had a van support her and she was kind of on a speaking tour. Like the goal of that was much different. Australia was like, the two of us were going out there. Like, this is just for us. And it was super challenging, but it was amazing. Yeah.
Sure. Did you guys do mostly like dehydrated food along the way?
Oh man, we had so much canned tuna and pasta. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, as you could probably imagine, the few communities that we went through in the outback, like there weren't just a lot of options and there certainly weren't dehydrated food options. But we could find pasta and we could find tuna, pasta and tuna. So that was pretty much our dinner for 4 months. We had a couple of sponsors. And so like for bars and like calorically dense things, we flew over with a big box of stuff. And then kind of partition that up and sent it out, to a couple of communities and picked up along the way, kind of like through hiker style.
But it was
just bars, you know, it was kind of snacks through the day. It wasn't really the meals. But we essentially would show up in town and be like, we need X, you know, we need 10, 12, 17 days worth of food. And like, we'll just buy what we have to buy to make it happen.
The wildflowers are blooming, the birds are singing, and the bass are biting. Springtime in Arizona is here. Take advantage of one of the most beautiful times of year with a state park adventure. If you're anxious to get on the water, head to one of our four parks along the Colorado River for all the swimming, boating, fishing, and water sports you've been dreaming about. Or, if you're craving cool mornings, comfortable afternoons, and evenings around a cozy campfire, head to higher elevations in northern Arizona like Dead Horse Ranch State Park, Fool Hollow Lake, or Lyman Lake State Park. Remember to bring your binoculars to make birding and wildlife viewing even more exciting. And don't miss out on the breathtaking wildflower blooms that a wet winter in Arizona has gifted us this spring. See the desert decorated in a colorful robe of golden poppies, vibrant blue lupins, stunning red chuparosas, and so many more with a visit to Picacho Peak, Lost Dutchman, or Catalina State Park. Please protect the habitat by staying on trails and taking photos instead of wildflowers so that others may enjoy the vibrant show. Plan your springtime adventure at azstateparks.com.
So you have a great video and we'll be sure to link to it in our show notes, but you actually take people along with you with different clips on this journey. And aside from the food and the you know, water that you sort of had to be self-sustaining, this was a physically demanding, but also, you know, emotional journey. Can you tell us, like, aside from the food, what was the most difficult thing that you encountered on that journey?
Yeah. So for me, you know, my role in this was a support vehicle in quotes. I envisioned it as my wife is the one doing this big athletic thing, right? She's running 30 miles a day every day. And I'm just there to make sure that she's okay and give her water and, you know, take care of her. But I fully underestimated just how challenging it was going to be for me. And like, I realized very quickly, like, wow, this is like, we are both doing an endurance thing. But I still wanted to be the support person and like not the person who needed support because she was, you know, she was trying to get through 30 miles every day. And like the conflict in my head of like, wait, I actually need to be supported as well. And like, this is actually very challenging for me, but not wanting to show that and not wanting to like need that from her was very challenging. It probably took like the first half of the trip for me to like be okay with that and like let her know. I mean, there were sections in the Tanami Desert, which was in the first half of the trip, where like she was ahead of me. Like I couldn't keep up because of the sand and the corrugations and the weight of the bike and the trailer. Like we would start very early in the morning and I would just see her headlamp like bob off into the distance and we would plan to meet up an hour later, you know. So it was a total like physical thing for me as well, that I wasn't expecting. And then with that came like the mental frustration of like, this is not what I expected. And I didn't want to be the weak link when I thought I was just going to kind of be there to support her.
Yeah. Right. I can imagine how it went before you left. So, sure, babe, I'll go with you to Australia. I'll ride my bike when you're running. And then you get there, you're like, what did I get into?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you the food. Yeah, watching you try to bike through that sand is so painful. It just looks, just watch it. I can't imagine how agonizing that portion of the journey was.
Yeah. You know, there's like the physical difficulty of it. And then there's like, I mean, I would be in tears someday. Just like the frustration of like, I'm willing and my body is capable, but like, I just like, I can't do it. Like, I can't do it in a way that's keeping up with her pace in a way that, but at some point, like your pace slows down, then your water calculation gets thrown off and like, there's no place to top up or no food to top up, you know? It's like,
and that's, stressful.
There's just the, certainly. Yeah. And there were some points like where we'd be going into the night and we had to disconnect the trailers and she would pull the trailer through the sand to get it through. So it had all kinds of ups and downs of any good trip, and then some.
What kind of cool wildlife did you see? You see a lot of kangaroos when you're there?
Yeah, lots of kangaroos. I think we saw kangaroos on like our first kangaroo the second or third day. And it was, we knew we'd see them at some point. We didn't know how soon or how many. And it was so cool to see them for the first time. And it never got old. We would see, you know, we saw hundreds by the end of the trip. Awesome. I think they're maybe in some parts of Australia seen as a bit of a pest. Like there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cars often run into them, maybe not too dissimilar to deer, perhaps, you know, like, but you can never get tired of seeing a kangaroo. We also saw camels.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Wow.
Just on one occasion. And the cool thing about camels is, you know, they're not native to Australia. They were brought there way back in the day when, you know, like the white settlers were moving inward and they brought people from the Middle East who knew about camel herding and, you know, essentially packing with camels. And then those that were left or that, you know, strayed off, that's what's left over in Australia. And so we only saw them once, but it was so cool to see camels. Yeah.
That is cool. Yeah, it's kind of like burrows here, right? That were used by like miners and.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. What kind of wildlife have you seen out on the trail when you've been here in Arizona? I mean, there are some interesting animals that some people don't even know exist here in the desert.
I think I've probably seen kind of like the, I guess, standard animals that you'd expect, and you know, lots of coyote and javelina, coatimundi in certain parts. I've not seen a mountain lion. I've not seen a Gila monster, which I'm hoping this spring to give myself the opportunity to do that, to see those things.
Yeah.
Lots of, I think I've become a little bit of a birder, in the last year. So like I'm more attuned to birds. Kind of like all the desert critters that you'd expect, but,
have you seen a ringtail?
I've not seen a ringtail. No.
Okay, they've evaded me too. And I've just, it's on my list.
Yeah.
I've seen ringtails down in, like Pepper Sauce Canyon in the Catalinas down there. We were, up early one morning, I shined my light up in the tree and it was just standing there, you know, looking at us. And that one in particular, we were able to watch quite a long time.
That's cool. My wife and I bought a house like a year and a half ago. And I think owning a place that also like you're more attuned to your backyard. And we're lucky here in Tucson. Like we've got a good amount of tree cover and a good amount of like cactus that have been here for a while. So we have lots of things going in the backyard. And I just want to know what's back there other than just bird in general.
Right. Yeah, we're pretty lucky too. We live like right on a desert interface and we get a lot of cool species here, and you know, we feed the hummingbirds and stuff like that. We like to watch them, but it's also cool being able to see hawks grab squirrels on the hill right behind my house, you know, when I'm on break from work, and I'm like, oh man, what, this is awesome. And of course squirrel, but that was cool to watch.
So Emily, I wanna redirect just here where we've got a few minutes left. I want to give you an opportunity to share with listeners who hear your adventures and they're inspired and they want to do more things, even if it's just right here in their own backyard, but maybe haven't done bigger adventures like that, or even maybe they hear you and they go, well, mountain biking sounds fun. I'd like to do it. It's something I've always thought of, but I haven't done it before. and is maybe intimidating. What advice would you give to people who have an appetite for doing some of these things, but haven't tried it before?
Yeah. I think one good thing, like we talked about earlier, like your sphere of kind of like comfort and what you know, and how sometimes it's hard to move past that, whatever it might be. I would say whether it be hiking or cycling, I guess if you're getting into a totally new sport like mountain biking, if that's new for you, that would be different. But like just to focus on hiking for a second, like if you were to have a place that you go to, like for example, Cavalier State Park is close by here. And that's a place with a trail system within itself and it's easy access, but it also abuts thousands of acres of national forest and wilderness that you can then kind of push off into that. So I would say like, if you've got a realm that you hike in or you bike in and it feels comfortable and it's not intimidating to you, like maybe sit down and look at a map and see like, what can I like push a little bit further? And it doesn't have to be a big thing all at once, you know, just a little step outside of that. Again, I think it's one of the coolest things about Arizona and the amount of public land is that often one little protected area hopefully will abut another and then another. So there's ways for you to kind of push it incrementally like that. If it's something like totally into a new sport, like maybe biking or maybe hiking is a new sport, this is advice that's often given, but like connecting with people that you can go with. There's obviously like a cost associated with the outdoors and having the right gear. So not being afraid to ask someone like, can I borrow a bike for a day? Can I borrow, you know, maybe I need an overnight pack. Can I borrow yours for a little bit? If anyone listened to this in Southern Arizona and is in that boat, you can get a hold of me.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Cause yeah, there's, you know, the outdoors is great, but that it doesn't come without its like costs and barriers to entry. And so I think if that's a thing holding you back, like you just got to ask and get some help that way. But I've had so many like good experiences with friends and, you know, people that I'm becoming friends with in the outdoors that are not more knowledgeable than me in a certain way. And I learn from them. And so just kind of maybe sometimes like the first comfort zone to push is like asking for help and then you can go from there. But yeah, I'd say start there for sure. Maps, if you're into maps, like I think that's like one of I got maps all over in here. And like, I just love looking at a map. And again, like I know this trail, but I don't know like this side thing that connects over to this other trail that I know. And just being inquisitive, I think sometimes it's kind of intimidating to be inquisitive about outside the things that you don't know. But I would start there. Yeah.
That's awesome,
man. That's awesome. Yeah. You put yourself out there as a resource for people, and we'll connect everybody to your social media accounts in the show notes. Because anytime experienced people are willing to share the information and kind of reduce the learning curve for other people, that's an amazing thing. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
So what do you have planned for 2023?
I got a for sure plan and lots of ideas. So the for sure plan is I'm going to attempt to yo-yo the Arizona Trail starting in early April. So if you're not familiar with the yo-yo, like it's like a yo-yo works, you go. My plan is to hike the Arizona Trail northbound and then turn around and mountain bike it southbound. And every year on my birthday, I've done my age in miles. And this year I turned 35, and so I'm going to do my age in days. So the idea is to do it in 35 days total. So hopefully hike northbound in 20 days and bike back in 15 days.
That's amazing. That's
I think you goal. Got it.
Yeah, you definitely do. How many miles is that altogether?
Up and back will be 1,600. So it's about 800 each way. One of the most interesting features of this to me is that the AZT has legit workarounds for the wilderness areas for you to be able to bike it, which a lot of other long distance trails don't have. But when you get to the Grand Canyon, there you have two options. One is to bike all the way around, which would be like a couple hundred miles, to like do a crazy network of roads to get around. And the other is to take your bike apart, strap it to your backpack, and hike it across the Grand Canyon, which is what most people do. So I'm excited and very intimidated to do that as well.
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's going to be great to follow along your journey. I can't wait to see what that brings. And for our listeners who are interested in the Arizona Trail, there are several state parks that have access points to the Arizona Trail. So we'll put those in the show notes too, if you want to get a little taste for what Henley's about to experience.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I need to get outside right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about it sitting at this desk, you know?
Yeah.
Man, yeah. But we really appreciate you coming on here today, Henley. It's been an awesome experience. And I think that we're going to be able to help some more people get outside.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks for having me. It's been nice chatting with you both. Thanks for the invitation.